Congrats on the new job, but what the heck are you supposed to do next? Don't worry, we've got you. Hey, welcome to the Talking Sense podcast. I'm Mark Osorio.
And I'm Teresa Arago. We're financial advisors, and if there's one thing we understand, it's that money can be confusing.
So get ready, because we're breaking down what you don't know about money today on the Talking Sense podcast.
Hey guys, we're back with the Talking Sense podcast. We're going to be talking today about new jobs and what comes with that. Whether you're starting a completely new career or you've been promoted in the career that you already had, we want to make sure that you know that you've got some financial opportunities that come with that change. So Mark, you know, we know that everybody's goal is to get promoted, to move forward, but we also know that change means opportunities. So let's talk through those today.
Yeah. So with a new job, right, you are, for the most part, typically met with some sort of HR packet.
Mm-hmm.
And that HR packet contains a lot of paperwork that a lot of us don't really know what to do with. We just kind of scramble through it and try to make as few decisions as we need to on it. And then we probably stuff it somewhere. Mm-hmm. Right. But those packets actually come with a lot of financial opportunities.
Yes.
Hashtag that. So what that means is that you shouldn't just take the default. You shouldn't just do what everybody else does. You should really, you know, think through it, because there's a lot of things in there that are for your own benefit.
They are. And I think it's overwhelming. I've heard a lot of people complain, well, they handed me the packet. I had to turn it in a couple of days. They gave me no coaching. Well, they're not licensed to coach you. Your HR manager is not an advisor, and they can't tell you what's in your best interest. But getting some help and filling that out could be really beneficial. One of the fun Gen Wealth, you know, lore stories is related to Scott Inman. And I'll throw him under the bus because he won't get too mad at me. When he started his career, they handed him the packet. He went home, he looked through it, and he saw an investment that had high yield in the name. And he thought, well, everybody wants high yield, so I'll sign up for that one. And what yield means is bond. And when you're young, for those that don't know, a bond is not really necessarily what you need, because bonds are intended to be steady, not growers. So, you know, first question, of course, is not even what you're going to be investing in, but what are your options within the plan? We tell people all the time, don't walk away from free money. And what are we talking about when we're talking about that?
So we're talking about the employer matching contribution, because whenever you have an employer matching contribution, that means that for each dollar that you contribute, the employer will have some sort of calculation to where they will also contribute some money for you.
Mm-hmm.
So just to clear up Scott's name here, because he is actually, you know, my pod team member. This was not when he signed up for Gen Wealth.
I should have clarified that. Thank you.
At a previous
this was
job.
A long time ago. Yes. You're right. Sorry, Scott.
But I love that you mentioned that, because that is one of our major, major frustrations with the industry is, you know, giving all of this to you know, people that have no idea what to do with, right? And not giving the education, right? It's like giving a gun without the gun ed, right?
Mm-hmm. Or it'd be like handing your child at 16 the driver's manual and the keys and saying, good luck, buddy. Have fun. That's not going to work out well for you. So we feel like getting coaching is really helpful. But if you're not where you can get coaching, the first rule that we're going to talk about when it comes to a new job is get the match. If it's at all possible, make sure you're maximizing your match, which means you need to understand it. Ask questions if you need to, but understand that match and make sure that you're getting it. And if you're not maxing it out, again, you're walking away from free money.
So here are some questions to consider when evaluating your plan. And each employer has typically what are called defined benefit plans or defined contribution plans,
mm-hmm.
which that's some industry jargon for you. And Teresa, what does that mean?
So with the defined benefit plans, it means there's something that they're going to give you at some point. Often we see those with pensions.
Right.
A defined contribution plan means that there's some sort of matching. So when you contribute, they contribute. Sometimes they'll contribute whether you do or not, but definitely in those matching situations, make sure that you are getting that. And if you got a sign-on bonus, ask about whether or not you're allowed to put some of that in there to kind of tee up your investments and get those going. Or if you're with a company and you get a bonus, ask if you can put a portion of that into the plan, because it's not in your bank account. It's not part of your budget. And that's a great way to kickstart your movement towards that, and a great way to save on taxes, because if you're using a pre-tax option, it's not going to be taxable to you when you go to file the next year.
Yeah. So again, some important questions: how much should you contribute to get your employer's match,
mm-hmm.
right? And is it important? Well, yeah, because you get free money, and then figuring out, okay, can I invest my own money, right? Can I have a say in this process?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, then what are the investment options?
And if it's too complicated, if you're not at the point where you're getting help and it is too complicated, a lot of investment options will include some sort of like life cycle funds. Many people tend to be a little too conservative, in my opinion, on those as far as what year they select. But, you know, it's a good starting point while you're waiting to get some help. The key is to get started on it, though, and understand what you're investing in with those as much as you can.
Right. And life cycle funds, just for anyone that's not familiar, is a fund that is meant to provide you with a certain amount of risk and a certain amount of stocks and bonds, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And to where at first, when you're younger, it'll be a higher level of risk, right? To try to get you as much growth as possible. And over time, as you near retirement, that level of risk goes down, again, to kind of match that retirement age.
And we know that, you know, past performance is not indicative of future performance, but you can look typically on those fund descriptions. It'll tell you how long has the fund been around? How has it done over the long haul? You know, because if you're looking at long-term investing, it doesn't really matter what it did in the last year. I mean, especially if you consider last year was a weird year. So a 1 year is really misleading. But if a fund's been around for a really long time, do you understand the strategy? Is the fund manager new in that fund, or is it someone who's been there for a long time that has a lot of experience in that industry? You know, there's things like that that can help you at least get a basic understanding even without some coaching. And if you're not excited about the options at your employer, you can do the match there, get what you have to for the match, and then think about what you want to do with the rest of your money and your budget that you're investing to a little differently.
Right. Right. And when talking about the investment options, one of the important factors here, a little pro tip, is if your company offers what's called a brokerage link, mm-hmm. that's a nuanced thing. There's very few companies that do this, but for most 401ks, for most employer and retirement plans, they will have pretty limited investment options. But if you have what's called brokerage link, that option that opens up your 401k to act more like an IRA in regards to the options that you'll have available. So you'll have access to stocks, bonds, ETFs, and other investment types that are usually not available to a 401k plan. So that's a bonus.
Mm-hmm. And if if you need some coaching on that, that's where your financial advisor comes into play. Many of the clients that I'm working with who aren't retirement age, we meet once a year just to look at their employer plan, see how it's doing, and check in on it. And you should do that with your advisor as well. One of my favorite pro tips has to do with when you're moving up, when you are within the same company getting a raise or getting a bonus. You know, one of the things I tell people is every year when you get a raise, increase your contribution a little bit, because you won't notice it in your check. You won't know what, you know, you won't feel it in your budget, but it'll help you build things over time. But if you had a 401k at a previous job, there are four options in dealing with that. You know, so you move to a new company, you've got this old employer plan, whether it's a 401k or one of the other bajillion different number codes we have for different kinds of retirement accounts. But what are the four options you have with that to help people understand what they can do when they've left a 401k or an employer plan behind?
Yes. So one of the first ones is that you can actually leave it in that same 401k plan if the plan allows for that. Mm-hmm. So sometimes 401k plans will have an amount, right, a balance minimum that you must reach to be able to keep your money in that plan. Mm-hmm. For the most part, it'll be somewhere between $1,000 to $5,000. If you don't reach that amount, then they'll automatically roll it over to an IRA for you.
And they may force distribution too. That's one thing I've seen as well.
Correct. Which brings, you know, the second and third option there is rolling over that previous employer 401k to an IRA. That's the second option. And that comes with a few other opportunities there for you as well. You can also choose to cash it out, mm-hmm. right? Which that comes with some tax implications, mm-hmm. there. So definitely a conversation that you would want to have with a tax advisor. Mm-hmm. And there's another option there as well.
And that's rolling it into your new employer plan. But let's backpedal. So we said you can leave it where it is if possible. You can roll it into an IRA. You can cash it out, or you can move it to your new employer. When we're talking about leaving it where it is, what are the benefits to doing that? And what are the kind of takeaways of doing that?
So the reasons why you might want to leave the money in that current plan is, one, that it gives you some time to figure out what your next steps are, mm-hmm. right? So especially, you know, if over this past year, right, we know for a lot of folks, it was a really difficult year. A lot of folks lost their jobs. It can be a very emotional time. What all you need to do, mm-hmm. what kind of financial strains there might come along. So you need time, right, to figure out what's the best move for you. So if you need that time, leaving it in that 401k might be the best option for you, just again so that you can get a bearing on things to figure out the next best step.
And if you're blessed to have one of those that has an easy online platform where you can manage it yourself, 401ks are cost-effective investment vehicles. So it may make sense if you like the investment options you have to leave it there too. But let's say you don't. Let's say that's not what you want to do with it. The other options you have, so let's talk about IRAs. What would be the benefit of moving it to an IRA? What would be the drawback to moving it to an IRA?
Yeah, so one of the benefits is that if you already have an IRA, for example, and then you've got this 401k that is kind of orphaned out there, you can't contribute to it anymore because you're not employed there anymore. Well, what you can do is you can kind of consolidate all of your retirement funds into one IRA by just rolling that 401k mm-hmm. to that IRA and making management easier. You don't have to log in to multiple platforms anymore. You can just have it all there in one place. Makes things a little bit more simple.
And we've met with people before that'll have four or five from where they've moved careers that are just kind of out there. They don't really get to manage them. That's one I would say is one of the drawbacks of leaving it, is that sometimes after you're not employed there, it's difficult to keep track of it and make sure that it still works within the whole picture of your financial goals. And of course, it is more expensive to invest within an IRA than it would be in a 401k. So be aware of that and make sure that the strategy is perfect for you. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, you do have the world of investments, depending on what kind of advisor you're with. If they're fully licensed, you have the world of investments at your feet now when you're in an IRA. There's no limit on how much you can add to it in a rollover format. You've got a limit on how much you can add per year as a contribution, but you can roll over as much as you want at any given time. And then, of course, we talked about cashing it out. We can't tell anybody what they can or can't do, but let's talk about the dynamics there. If I cash out and I'm below 59 and a half and I have $100,000 in my employer plan and I cash it out immediately, $10,000 of that is due to Uncle Sam.
Right.
What else?
So if you cash it out, one of the things that we talk about a lot is that we want to make sure that you know that you have a plan for how you're going to pay those taxes,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we meet some folks sometimes that say, okay, well, I'm going to cash it out and then I'm just going to use part of that, what I cash out to pay the taxes. Well, then you're just paying taxes on taxes,
mm-hmm.
right? So that could be a vicious circle. So if you're going to do something like that, then we want to make sure that you have a plan for how you're going to pay those taxes in a more efficient way.
Yeah, so if you had a $50,000 expense and you say, I want to pay this debt off, you're going to have to pull out a lot more than $50,000 to be able to cover those taxes for that. And if you're under age 59 and a half, you've got the penalty, but it's also added to your taxable income for that year. So it increases your total taxes, plus you have the penalty. And for a lot of people, it just does not make sense to do. But of course, everything's individualized. So that's something to talk about with your financial advisor. And the last one we talked about is rolling it into your new employer plan. And if you've got a new employer plan that you think has great options and you want to kind of consolidate things that way, that's another great way to do that. The drawback again is some plans won't allow that. Depending on what your new employer is, they may not be able to receive that account. But also, you know, you're limiting your investment options to whatever's available in that employer's plan. So just be mindful of the different dynamics at play when you're considering that, when you switch jobs and what to do with that 401k.
Yeah. And actually, one thing that I want to briefly jump back to on the mm-hmm. rollover to an IRA is a big planning point for a lot of our younger folks. And that is, when you roll over to an IRA, it also gives you the ability to convert that money. If that's pre-tax mm-hmm. money, it gives you the ability to convert that money to a Roth IRA.
Yes.
That's a conversation that we have with a lot of our younger investors mm-hmm. That ends up being very beneficial, because you can convert that money and pay lower taxes now than you possibly could later if you know that you're going to be in a higher tax bracket. Mm-hmm. So a very good opportunity there. And again, it allows you for the ability to really take advantage of time and compound interest. Mm-hmm. So again, that's why we believe that's a huge benefit to our younger investors.
So we're talking about new jobs, new opportunities. Instead of seeing that 401k as like ooh, I can access it, it's a piggy bank I can get a hold of, we'd encourage you to consider utilizing it in a different way towards your goals, whether it's leaving it there or or putting it in an IRA, putting it in the new plan, don't see that as an opportunity to access it, but rather as an opportunity to accelerate your savings in that new job. And, you know, we talked about, again, when you get a raise, add more. 1% changes over a 20-year career, that's 20% more going into your plan. That can add up. If you've got debts that you're trying to pay down and you get that new job, now's the time to keep your budget the same. A big issue I see in our society in general is that when people get a raise, we increase our spending. And we always basically just out-earn our stupid when it comes to our spending habits. You know, we're just constantly trying to out-earn our mistakes. Instead of doing that, when you get this new opportunity, not only do you deal with that 401k like we've talked about today, let's take an opportunity to say, okay, let's reassess our finances. Let's think through what changes we have the opportunity to make now that maybe we didn't before. And let's maximize that for our future.
Right. So, and that really, that's one of the best tools to making sure that you're living below your means, right? Mm-hmm. If at the same time that your income's going up, you allow yourself to stay at the same cost of living, that is an automatic way to make sure that your income far surpasses your outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Right? And we've given
your
some
outflows.
Yeah. And we've given some just general knowledge about how to handle a 401k, how to handle when you get a new opportunity with your finances. But do understand that having a financial advisor walk you through this process is going to be more beneficial to you than just kind of taking our general advice and trying to apply it. So we'd encourage you to take some time to meet with your financial advisor. And if you don't have one, we'd be happy to talk through it with you ourselves. But that would be, you know, to me, kind of the biggest piece of advice is to just think through all the pieces instead of just going, yes, my increase is this much. Let's increase our spending. We get to do this that we didn't get to do before, and really maximize your opportunity with that.
Definitely. A lot of good conversations that could be had over all this. So if there's any part of this that you would like to go over for your specific situation, definitely would invite you to give us a ring. Or actually, you can click in the show notes and text MoneyWorks to 501-381-5228 for more information.
We've given you our 2 cents today. We hope you learned something. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Talking Sense. And if you like what you hear, make sure and subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes.
The Jim Walt team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com. Or you can call our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526.
And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success.
Jim Walt Financial Advisors is an Arkansas registered investment advisor with securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA/SIPC.